Chapter 2 of The Tale of Little Pig Robinson by Beatrix Potter. This Legimus recording may be distributed and adapted freely for any purpose. Read by Rachel. Chapter 2. You remember the song about the owl and the pussycat and their beautiful pea-green boat? How they took some honey and plenty of money wrapped up in a 5-pound note? They sailed away for a year and a day to the land where the bong tree grows. And there in a wood a piggy-wig stood with a ring at the end of his nose with a ring at the end of his nose. Now I am going to tell you the story of that pig, and why he went to live in the land of the bong tree. When that pig was little, he lived in Devonshire with his aunts, Miss Dorcas and Miss Porcus, at a farm called Piggery Porcombe. Their cosy thatched cottage was in an orchard at the top of a steep red Devonshire lane. The soil was red, the grass was green, and far away below in the distance they could see red cliffs and a bit of bright blue sea. Ships with white sails sailed over the sea into the harbour of Stymouth. I have often remarked that Devonshire farms have very strange names. If you had ever seen Piggery Porcombe, you would think that the people who lived there were very queer, too. Aunt Dorcas was a stout speckled pig who kept hens. Aunt Porcus was a large, smiling black pig who took in washing. We shall not hear very much about them in this story. They led prosperous, uneventful lives, and their end was bacon. But their nephew, Robinson, had the most peculiar adventures that ever happened to a pig. Little Pig Robinson was a charming little fellow, pinky white with small blue eyes, fat cheeks and a double chin and a turned-up nose, with a real silver ring in it. Robinson could see that ring if he shut one eye and squinted sideways. He was always contented and happy. All day long he ran about the farm, singing little songs to himself and grunting, "Wee, wee, wee!" His aunts missed those little songs sadly after Robinson had left them. "Wee, wee, wee," he answered when anybody spoke to him. "Wee, wee, wee," listening with his head on one side and one eye screwed up. Robinson's old aunts fed him and petted him and kept him on the trot. "Robinson, Robinson," called Aunt Dorcas. "Come quick, I hear a hen clucking. Fetch me the egg, don't break it now." "Wee, wee, wee," answered Robinson like a little Frenchman. "Robinson, Robinson, I've dropped a clothes peg. Come and pick it up for me," called Aunt Porcus from the drying green, she being almost too fat to stoop down and pick up anything. "Wee, wee, wee," answered Robinson. Both the aunts were very, very stout, and the stiles in the neighborhood of Stymouth are narrow. The footpath from Piggery Porcombe crosses many fields, a red trodden track between short green grass and daisies. And wherever the footpath crosses over from one field to another field, there is sure to be a stile in the hedge.
"It is not me that is too stout, it is the stiles that are too thin," said Aunt Dorcas to Aunt Porcus. "Could you manage to squeeze through them if I stayed at home?"
"I could not. Not for 2 years I could not," replied Aunt Porcus. "Aggravating, it is aggravating of that carrier man to go and upset his donkey cart the day before market day, and eggs at 2 and 2d a dozen. How far do you call it to walk all the way round by the road instead of crossing the fields?"
4 miles if it's one," sighed Aunt Porcus, "and me using my last bit of soap. However shall we get our shopping done? The donkey says the cart will take him a week to mend."
"Don't you think you could squeeze through the stiles if you went before dinner?"
"No, I don't. I would stick fast, and so would you."
"Don't you think we might venture," commenced Aunt Dorcas.
"Venture to send Robinson by the footpath to Stymouth?" finished Aunt Porcus.
"Wee, wee, wee," answered Robinson.
"I scarcely like to send him alone, though he is sensible for his size."
"Wee, wee, wee," answered Robinson.
"But there is nothing else to be done," said Aunt Dorcas. So Robinson was popped into the wash-tub with the last bit of soap. He was scrubbed and dried and polished as bright as a new pin. Then he was dressed in a little blue cotton frock and knickers, and instructed to go shopping to Stymouth with a big market basket. In the basket were 2 dozen eggs, a bunch of daffodils, 2 spring cauliflowers, also Robinson's dinner of bread and jam sandwiches. The eggs and flowers and vegetables he must sell in the market, and bring back various other purchases from shopping. "Now take care of yourself in Stymouth, Nephew Robinson. Beware of gunpowder, and ship's cooks, and pantechnicons, and sausages, and shoes, and ships, and sealing wax. Remember the blue bag, the soap, the darning wool." "What was that other thing?" said Aunt Dorcas. "The darning wool, the soap, the blue bag, the yeast. What was the other thing?" said Aunt Porcus.
"Wee, wee, wee," answered Robinson.
"The blue bag, the soap, the yeast, the darning wool, the cabbage seed, that's 5, and there ought to be 6. It was 2 more than 4, because it was too many to tie knots in the corners of his hanky to remember by. 6 to buy it should be." "I have it," said Aunt Porcus. "It was tea. Blue bag, soap, darning wool, yeast, cabbage seed. You will buy most of them at Mr. Mumby's. Explain about the carrier, Robinson. Tell him we will bring the washing and some more vegetables next week."
"Wee, wee, wee," answered Robinson, setting off with the big basket.
Aunt Dorcas and Aunt Porcus stood in the porch. They watched him safely out of sight, down the field, and through the first of the many stiles. When they went back to their household tasks, they were grunty and sappy with each other, because they were uneasy about Robinson. "I wish we had not let him go. You and your tiresome blue bag," said Aunt Dorcas.
"Blue bag, indeed. It was your darning wool and eggs," grumbled Aunt Porcus. "Bother that carrier man and his donkey cart. Why could he not keep out of the ditch until after market day?"
End of chapter 2.